Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 279 of the Professional Book Nerds podcast presented by Overdrive. This is Adam, joined by Jill. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I am doing well. This is definitely not the third intro we've recorded in a row. I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's one of those days.
We had to get a whole bunch of stuff done at the exact same time. What is today's episode about?
So today's episode is an interview I did back at ALA with fiction author Jasmine Guillory. Her new book, The Proposal, is out tomorrow, October 30th. And this is a book about, you know, those public proposals?
Oh.
Yeah, it's about a public proposal. Nicole is proposed to by her boyfriend of 5 months.
Oh,
at
no.
At a Dodgers game, and she says no in front of all of the people. And it does not go well. And of course, in this age of social media, everyone, it's like going viral, and it's like this whole big thing. Jasmine's book, The Wedding Date, did really well. She writes fun, rom-com books, and it's good stuff. She was really fun to talk to. She is an attorney, and I believe still, like, is a lawyer in her life, not writing life. And she was fun to talk to.
I have, like, instant heartburn just about the idea of public proposals. It sounds...
Public proposal gone wrong. Yeah.
Don't do that.
I was like, that's a genius idea.
It's so funny.
Especially in the age of social media when that stuff goes viral really quickly. Yeah. And suddenly everyone knows who you are and you're the girl who said no. And yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, there's one of the blurbs. She had just looked it up while you're talking. One of the blurbs is by Roxane Gay.
We talked about that.
Did you? Oh, my God.
We talked about that. I was like, Jasmine.
I feel like.
Roxane Gay read your book. Let's talk about that.
I feel like the idea, if I ever get to write a book, and I know that you are obviously working on your second one, like the idea of like someone famous like that who I idolize. Not even reading my book, like knowing my book exists would be too much for me to handle. Oh my God. Here's another little snippet from the overdrive.com page. When someone asks you to spend your life with him, it shouldn't come as a surprise or happen in front of 45,000 people. Oh, wow. I'm so jealous retroactively that you got to talk to Jasmine and I didn't.
She was so fun. Yeah, she was delightful.
This looks wonderful. If people want to get a hold of us, how can they do that?
They can go to our website, professionalbooknerds.com. There they can get links to our social. We're on Instagram and Twitter, @ProBookNerds. You can visit our Viber community to come chat about the proposal and on any other books you want to read. And you can email us at professionalbooknerds@overdrive.com.
Sorry, on her book, the tagline on the book is "The Proposal." Not everybody wants one. Oh my God, I want to read this so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm literally in real time gushing about the book that Jill got to talk about. Is there anything else you think people should know about?
I think that's everything.
Oh, I hope you guys enjoy this conversation that Jill had with Jasmine Guillory, and then go read this book like I'm going to very, very shortly. All right. Enjoy this episode of the Professional Book Nerds podcast.
This is Jill, and with me today, I have author Jasmine Guillory, whose debut, The Wedding Date, was a Library Reads pick and loved by Entertainment Weekly, Cosmo Elle, and Harper's Bazaar, just to name a few. Her latest book, The Proposal, Roxane Gay called it a sharp with a feminist edge, which is quite an accolade to get on your book.
It was amazing. I was in a car with some friends when I read that, and like... started screaming so loudly the driver almost got in a car accident.
And I also sort of love that Roxane Gay reads romance novels.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Which is just amazing. Mm-hmm. So can you start... First, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can you start by giving our listeners a brief introduction to The Proposal?
Yeah. So The Proposal is about one of the best friends from the wedding date, Drew's best friend, Carlos. And it starts at a Dodgers game. A woman sitting in a few rows before Carlos gets proposed to over the Jumbotron by her boyfriend of just 5 months. She says no.
Sure.
And then chaos ensues.
Of course.
So Carlos and his sister help her get out of the stadium. And then they all go out for drinks to debrief about it. And then a little bit of Sparks fly between Carlos and
I love it. I love it. And I sort of love that you took characters that people are already going to be a little bit familiar with. So is that sort of, do you see more of that coming from the characters in your story?
I do. I'm working on the third book right now. And it is also about some people that you have met in the wedding
date. Okay. And I, you know, I think this idea of these the public proposals is the stuff of nightmares for me.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially 5 months. That's just, no.
No.
That's not good.
No.
And then you bring the social media thing where these things get filmed and they go viral.
And people, you know, tag someone in it without her consent, and then everything becomes a nightmare. Yeah. So that was, it was funny because I sort of, my first thought about it was the public proposal. I thought about this during, a few years ago during the Olympics, a number of people, women who had just won medals.
Oh, that's right.
Sudden, like, their boyfriend, like, leapt out of the stands to propose to them. And I kept thinking, like, let them have their moment. They just won an Olympic medal. Why are you making it all about you?
Yes.
And also, the public proposal seems like a way to just trap someone into saying yes.
Yep.
Because they don't want to embarrass you. Especially since, you know, women are so ingrained to, like, do the nice thing and not embarrass someone. So that's sort of how I got the idea for the beginning of this book. And then I thought, who would be the woman who wouldn't be too embarrassed to say no?
Right.
And that's kind of how I conceived of the character of Nick.
Okay.
Who is the heroine of this book. And then I thought, like, that's a great story for Carlos, because he would definitely be attracted to that kind of woman.
Right.
So then it just sort of went from there. You know, I was sort of thinking about what would happen to a woman who did that in 2018. And then, of course, social media would happen. Of course, people would have their cell phones filming. Of course, people would recognize her and know who she was if she's in her home city. And, you know, so it all, you know, everything kind of went from there.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And I did, one of my notes was, yeah, the pressure of women and weddings and proposals. And it does feel like sort of entrapment a little bit.
Yeah, right.
Like, who's going to say no?
Who's going to say no?
In that sort of circumstance.
Yeah.
So I do like that idea of sort of...
And I've definitely heard of people who've gotten publicly proposed to, who wanted to say no, who felt like they couldn't in that moment, and then afterwards had to figure out a way to, like...
To get out of it.
To get out of it and to dial back and say, well, you know, you should have talked to me before that happened.
Right, right.
Before you did it in front of, like, all of my friends and family or everybody at a stadium, if you wanted me to really be into it.
Right. And I think, yeah, the Olympic thing, I do remember that, because it did feel like it was a lot about the men and not about the women that they were proposing to.
Right. Like, if you want to do that, maybe take her out for dinner later that night.
Yes.
And give her flowers and then propose. Like, not in the moment where she's getting her Olympic medal.
Yeah.
Let her have that own solo moment herself.
Right. I do think, yeah, I think, you know, it's tricky with whether women often sort of get categorized based on their relationship status.
Yes.
And with something like this, yeah, the proposal, it does, she's the one being asked, but it often comes down to the guy's the one doing it, and it's all about him in a little bit. And I always think about how it's funny when George Clooney and his wife, and how he often is called her husband, which makes me so happy.
Oh, it's delightful. I love it.
Because there is this, you know, I think we need more romance novels that examine the sort of more non-traditional women or the feminist side of things.
Because just even, you know, Michelle Obama's speech a few days ago, she talked about how when she became first lady, she was suddenly just a spouse. Mm-hmm. When her whole life she'd been working so hard, she'd gone to Princeton and Harvard Law School and was the vice president of a hospital, but then, you know, she was just a spouse and nothing else.
Right.
And I think that is definitely something that happens to women. Like, they become someone's spouse or someone's girlfriend, or, you know, their identity is tied up in how they relate to other people and not their own accomplishment.
Right, yeah. So we definitely need more stories where that is sort of bucked a little bit. And romance in particular, because I do like reading romance, but it took me a long time to find romance books I liked, because so much of what I was finding just sort of was more of the status quo, the traditional relationships, and that's not who I am.
Yeah.
And I wasn't able to relate to the characters in any way.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's a lot of great feminist romance novels, sometimes it takes a little digging to get to them, but I think especially these days, they've been some of the really popular ones, which
right.
is exciting. I mean, that's how I got into reading romances, because I was reading some of those books and it was like, oh, this is what romance can be. Like, this is exciting.
Right,
I like this.
Right.
And then I started thinking of ideas for who I wanted characters to be. But it wasn't until I found those books that I really realized, like, we can have romantic novels that are about strong women, which was really exciting.
So I'm going to put you on the spot, but can you think of any that you would recommend to people who also like The Wedding Date and
Oh,
the Proposal?
Absolutely. Okay. I have a ton. So some of the books that got me really into reading romance, Courtney Milan and Tessa Dare. I love all of their books. They're mostly historical. Courtney Milan has some contemporaries, but they're mostly historical. But I love all of their books, and it's great in the like historical realm to have books with strong women too, because I think, you know, a lot of the, like, traditionally a lot of those books were just sort of like the young woman who gets plucked out of the governess or,
yep.
you know, the debutante or whatever. And so it's nice, it's great to have those books. Beverly Jenkins, I just adore her books, and her characters are all really strong women, which I just love. And they're also historical, but they're set in you know, America, which I really love, and all of her characters are black women, or her heroines.
Right.
So, you know, those are some of the historical books that I love. For contemporary, Julie James, another historical, back to historical, Sarah McLean.
I love her books.
I love her books.
Oh my gosh, they're so fun. And she's like the best Twitter account ever. She's so much fun to follow
great.
As well. Yes.
Contemporary, Alexis Daria. She has, what's her most recent book? Take the Lead, I think.
Okay.
Or one of her most recent books. It's just so much fun. So, yeah, I could go on forever about this, but.
No, that's very helpful.
Those are
that's
some of the
very
books
helpful.
That I love and read all the time.
Because I think, you know, romance is, it's a tricky one because I think a lot of people who don't read it have this very black and white view of what romance novels are.
Yeah.
And they just sort of, are like, I'm not gonna read that.
Yeah.
And there's so much out there.
There's so much out there. Right.
From that can really hit any kind of, like, no matter what sort of thing you're looking for in a book, there's probably a romance out there that would fit that.
Like, Alicia Rye's books are amazing. Have you read any of her books?
I have not.
Oh, you have to. I mean, she has a real range, but they're also, like, they give me so much emotion reading them. And they're, you know, they're about, like, I think it's great that there's been a lot more attention on romance writers of color who write books about women of color. And so I just love reading so many books that are such a variety that I think a lot of people who don't normally read romance don't realize what a broad spectrum there is in the genre.
Agreed. Actually, on that subject of the black authors and black characters, I'd read an essay you did on Catapult talking about when you were little, a lot of the books that you read, like the children's books, they had black characters, but they were always like slavery related.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And how,
or like,
and
you know, they were growing up in Jim Crow.
Right. And admittedly, speaking from a place of privilege, that had never, you know, we talk so much about diversity, that had never really occurred to me that, yes, of course, that's what the books would have been, but they would have been like, no, but, you know, you're seeing yourself, and that's not really what you want to see when you're a little kid growing up.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm so excited. Like, I was walking around and looking at a lot of the children's books now, and there's so many great, like, picture books, middle grade books about, like, little girls of color who aren't, like, in a time of struggle.
Right,
you know? And
right.
so that's really exciting to me that there are those books now. There, you know, publishers are putting those books out for little girls who want, I mean, yes, I think it's really important to read about history. I was a history major. I as I said, I love historical books.
Right, right.
But also, you want to read books about people having fun, too. And I think that's really important to not think that, like, all you can do in your life or all someone who looks like you could do was, like, be poor and struggle.
Right.
You know?
Agreed. Yes. Were you a big reader as a kid, then?
Oh, cute. Yeah, absolutely.
Were there any particular books that you really enjoyed reading or types of books or authors?
So many. I mean, I loved the Anne books. I have read all of those books, like, so many times. I still read them all, like, at least once a year. The Betsy Tacy books, I adored all of those books. I reread them a lot, too. I was obsessed with, like, books about little girls who did ballet, because I did ballet as a little girl, and so I read a lot of books like that, like all of the Shoes books.
Yep.
I read all of those many, many times. And actually, I'm super excited that those haven't been on ebook, and they're coming out on ebook next year.
See?
I have been checking, like twice a year for at least the past 10 years, like, are they on ebook yet? Because I have them all in our copy, but sometimes...
You want them on ebook.
I want them on ebook, too, and they're coming out next year, which I'm very excited about.
There you go.
So, yeah, I mean, so many books like that.
Now, I know before you became a writer, you were a lawyer.
Yeah, I still am.
You are? Okay, yeah. So that was one of my questions, is if you're still a practicing lawyer.
Yes.
You are. And, like, how, you know, just making this shift from practicing law to being a writer, what is that like?
You know, it's a little bit wild. I mean, I think some of the same discipline goes into both. I think just, like, as a lawyer, I kind of learned that I had to get my work done, that deadlines were important, how to, like, I think it's a very different kind of writing, obviously.
Sure.
But, you know, throughout my life, in all of the schooling I did, I learned how to write. I mean, not necessarily fiction. I never took a fiction writing class. But you sort of learn how to put words together. You learn how it's important to communicate with people.
Mm-hmm.
And how to, like, communicate with different audiences and different types of people. So that has been interesting to be able to bring things back and forth.
Right.
But it also has been funny to see, like, my law school friends are like, you wrote a romance novel? That's not what I expected.
See?
So, yeah.
Surprising. Mm-hmm. Just keep people guessing.
Right. Yeah.
But I think that's one of those things where people, I think, you know, sometimes people who aren't writers maybe have an idea that, you know, the balance that comes with having a full-time job, and I'm sure as a lawyer, you work exceptionally long hours a lot of the time, and you still found time to write a book. Like, it can be done, balancing all of the life priorities.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing, I just had to, like, block out time, right? And that was the really important thing. And it's, you know, it's a little bit easier to do it now that, when I wasn't published yet, right? I sort of felt very shy about, oh, I'm writing a novel. Like, everybody wants to write a novel, right? And so I didn't really tell a lot of people that I was doing that, but I would kind of just go home every night and write for a few hours at night. And sometimes, you should come out tonight. And I would think, I would rather sit at home and work on my book. But I didn't really want to tell anyone that because I wasn't published yet, or I didn't really know where I was going with this. So now it's a little bit easier to say, like, no, I can't come. My deadline's in a few weeks. But you know, you do have to just commit to yourself to set aside that time to work on it. And it doesn't have to be 2 hours every night. I mean, it can be like 30 minutes every morning to just, you know, get a few hundred words on the page.
Right.
And keep going. When I was working on the first draft of The Wedding Date, I would bring my laptop to work every day and, like, sneak across the street to Starbucks for 30 minutes at lunchtime, and then just, like, work on it really hard and then go back to work.
Right. I think that is, the discipline of just, this is what I'm going to do, and committing to it and just doing it over and over and over again and keeping up with that. So you are still practicing, though, and you're still managing to do it. Good for you.
You know, sometimes there's a balance. Sometimes life is a little busier than other times.
Right.
But
you're still doing it.
Yeah.
So we are, of course, at a library conference.
Yeah.
So as a reader, I'm sure you had like a library card very early when you were a kid.
Absolutely. Sometimes I still live in the area that I grew up in. And so sometimes I drive by my local library when I was a little girl. And I had many memories of, like, being in the children's room there and checking out a bunch of books.
Do you have any specific memories of libraries? stories when you were growing up?
Oh, so many. I mean, my parents were both in graduate school when I was little. So my parents are both psychologists. And it is, I think, one of the disciplines that's best if you have a little kid is psychology, because there are lots of children's books.
Right.
A lot of people see children. So sometimes I would just like go to work with them when they did not have childcare, and then like want to sit in the library, in the children's library, and just pull books out. So it was, you know, I think, yes, you're not supposed to use libraries as babysitting, but I was a very bookish kid. So
yeah.
I would just like sit in the corner with a pile of books and read until they were done.
Whatever works for you. Whatever works. Yeah. I think, yeah, it's always interesting how the kids who write a lot tend to grow up to be writers, yeah, even if it happens a little bit later in life than for you, or in your, you know.
Right. I mean, I loved reading as a kid, and I read, starting from when I was like 4 years old, I was reading books constantly, but I never thought about becoming a writer until I was in my 30s. I just sort of thought of that. I thought of books as a thing I read, not wrote. And then at some point I was like, I felt like I needed a creative outlet in my life. And I was like, well, I've always loved to read. I wonder if I would like writing. And I just sort of started doing it.
Okay.
But it wasn't something that I thought that I would grow up and be.
Do you plot in advance, or do you kind of make it up as you go?
Yeah. I mean, I do, but there is a lot of like, there's a lot of room within my
outlets.
Right. But I definitely need to know, to a certain extent, where the book is going before I start writing. Or at least, you know, I think I have tried to write with just an idea, and it was very much a failure for me. So I know that I need that I need to have an idea of like what the ending is, or how I'm going to get there. And then sometimes something will happen. I'm like, yes, I need to change something, but it does sort of give me, I need a path of what's going to happen.
So in an ideal world, would you be writing full time at some point in the future? Or do you like, I mean, you know, if you're...
I mean, I think in many ways I would love to write full time, but also I'm a person who works a lot better with structure. So I think it is good for me to like have to fit writing in the midst of other things. So that, you know, if left to my own devices, I would
get nothing done.
So it is good that I have to, you know, schedule my writing in the midst of all of the other stuff I have to do.
Right. Okay. So at the end of all of our interviews, we do something we call the Nerd 9.
All right.
Which are 9 sort of lighthearted questions. Don't put too much thought into them, okay. I promise. What was the last book you finished reading?
The last book I finished reading is called All You Can Ever Know. It comes out in October. It's by Nicole Chung. It's a memoir.
Oh, I've seen the... Yes.
Yes. You've seen the cover around.
I've seen the cover around.
It's just wonderful. She's Korean. She was adopted by a white family as a baby. And it's about how when she was pregnant herself, she decided that she wanted to find out more about her birth family. And then it's her path to like how she found out what she found out about them, and how in many ways that changed her life.
That sounds really good.
And it's just incredible. I love that.
What is the book that made you fall in love with reading? I know.
That is a great question. You know, it might be The Little Engine That Could.
Aw, such a cute one. Do you have a favorite place you like to read?
Bed. Either in bed or in the bathtub. It's most of my reading I do at night, taking a bath, and then I get into bed and read until I fall.
Like it. What is one place you would like to travel to that you haven't been to yet?
Oh, I have always wanted to go to Italy. I've never been yet. And I've wanted to go for like 30 years.
Your favorite holiday?
Christmas.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Favorite food?
I mean, you can't ask that in New Orleans.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. There are so many good restaurants here. I have to, like, schedule an entire another trip to come back just to eat everything.
I was saying to someone the other day that I have not experienced hunger since I've been here because I just keep going from meal to meal.
It's all so good.
Yeah, it's all so good.
All right. We'll give you a pass on that one. That's fine. If you could have dinner with one person, dead or alive, who would it be?
Michelle Obama.
Did you go? So then you were able to go?
I did.
Can you just, like, what was that like?
It was incredible. She was just wonderful. Yeah.
I'm a little jealous.
Like, the reception of the crowd, it was like there was just so much love being thrown at her from the entire convention hall. It was just beautiful.
Oh, man. Because when we got in on Friday, we couldn't go. We were working our booth here, but the line.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were worried that it just, like, kept going and going, but it sounds like everyone is able to get in.
Yeah, I think everybody got in.
Which is amazing. Yeah. So, I just, you know, she is so inspiring, and I think having her here at a library conference is just incredible.
Yeah,
she's
I can't wait
passionate.
For her book.
I know.
I'm really excited for
it. Maybe she'll come on the podcast soon.
Oh, yeah.
And then you could be like, me and Michelle are on the same podcast. So, finally, what would you like readers to take away from reading the proposal?
You know, there's a lot in the proposal, I think, about friendship and family and how those get you through some of the hardest times in your life. And so I hope that resonates with people and that those are the people that you lean on. And kind of recognizing when your friends are right, how to find love. And so I hope that people really like that part of the book.
I love it. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Jasmine.
Thank you so much.
Readers can sample and borrow the titles mentioned in today's episode from overdrive.com, and our library friends can add these titles to their collections and marketplace.
My name is Cindy Burnett, and each week I interview at least two traditionally published authors on my podcast, Thoughts from a Page. We talk spoiler-free about their books, so you can listen whether you have read the book or not, and then we delve into things that you most likely won't hear about anywhere else. The importance of the cover design, why they included various aspects of the story, personal details about both the books and the authors' lives, and so much more. You can find the podcast on every major platform and learn more about it on my website, thoughtsfromapage.com. Thanks so much for checking it out.